Welcome to Morning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Broder. Today's share will be the first part of what we'll be discussing over the next 9 days leading up to the saddest day of the Jewish year, Tisha B'Av. Hopefully, the learning that we do today and the upcoming days will help us have a meaningful Tisha B'Av experience. I'd like you to also consider revisiting these recordings on Tisha B'Av itself, as well as using my book, Meaningful Kinos, which gives an overview and brief analysis of all the kinos of Tisha B'Av. Last year's shiurim focused on the meaning of the words of the kinos. This year, I'd like to focus on the inspirational messages that we can learn from those kinos. I'll select certain kinos to serve as the jumping-off point, to then explore how the concepts expressed can impact us in our daily lives, how the messages can motivate us during the 9 days and hopefully far beyond. I want to start this year with an interesting, true story about two Jewish young men who both later became great rabbis in Budapest. It was the 1870s when they were students at the University of Leipzig. On Tisha B'Av, these students were spending the afternoon in their dorm room playing chess. They hoped that this activity would help pass the time to get through the day. Suddenly, there was a knock on the door of their room. It was one of their non-Jewish professors. He looked at them sympathetically and said, "I know today is when you mourn the destruction of your holy temple. I'm sure it's a very difficult and painful day for you. And so I wanted to give you some words of hope, to tell you not to despair, because surely the day will come when your temple is rebuilt. My thoughts and prayers are with you." And with that, the professor left. The two students immediately put the chess set away and spent the rest of the afternoon learning about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. One of them recounted his thoughts about the professor's visit. He wrote, "This Christian believed that we Jews spend the entire day of Tisha B'Av mourning. Let this be a lesson to all of us." His words are as true today as they were 150 years ago. We need to genuinely feel sad over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. How can we do this? A Gemara in Tanis can provide us guidance. That Gemara compares the months of Av and Adar. We're told, Mishenichnas Adar, Marben Besimcha, that in the month of Adar, the month when Purim is, we should increase our happiness. On the flip side, the Gemara tells us, Mishenichnas Av, Mama'atim Besimcha, that when the month of Av approaches, which is obviously the month that includes Tisha B'Av, we should reduce our happiness. The Gemara that puts these two axioms together isn't comparing the holidays of Purim and Tisha B'Av, but rather the time leading up to those observances. Just as we spend the days and often weeks before Purim preparing for it, buying costumes, deciding on the perfect shalach manos, and many other things, so too we're instructed to spend the days heading into Tisha B'Av priming ourselves for the day. In both cases, the intense emotions that we're meant to experience, while on opposite sides of the spectrum, won't just come about instantly when the date of the holiday arrives, but needs to be developed in the period prior to that. So with that in mind, we'll be spending these 9 days learning about the messages behind the kinos that we recite on Tisha B'Av. I hope to help bring about feelings of avelus over the Harban, and also to inspire all of us to develop and improve ourselves. The first kina that is said on Tisha B'Av night is titled Zochor Hashem Mahayalanu. In this kina, each stanza describes a part of the suffering that the Jews endured when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The stanza then explains why that suffering happened, meaning what we did wrong that led us to be punished in that particular way. There's one specific example that I'd like to focus on. In the fifth stanza, it says, Al tzavareinu nirdafnu, that the Jews were chased by their enemy. The kina states that Hashem allowed this to happen, ki sinas chinam radafnu, because the Jews engaged in sinas chinam, baseless hatred. But what exactly is this sin? What is baseless hatred? People don't usually have animosity towards someone without cause. According to our rabbis, the term baseless here doesn't follow its colloquial meaning. It doesn't refer to hating someone for no reason. Instead, it means hating someone without having a valid Torah-sanctioned reason. According to the Torah, the only time that we're permitted to hate someone is if that person is a rasha, meaning someone who sins out of spite, or if he transgresses the most serious of sins, or if he incites others to violate the Torah. If we hate anyone other than a rasha, it's considered without a valid cause. This includes people who have different hashkafas than us, or whose personalities we don't like, or even those who slighted us. According to the Torah, none of these are permissible reasons to act with hatred towards another person. That explains the word chinam, baseless. Now let's turn to the word sinah, hatred. We might think that hatred is manifested only with the most egregious behavior towards someone, but that's not the case. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that refusing to speak to someone for 3 days is considered sinah. This means that giving someone the silent treatment for just a few days is prohibited by the Torah. It might be self-evident, but it's worth mentioning that if simply ignoring someone is considered sinas chinam, then all the more so is speaking disparagingly, callously, or discourteously to them. The poskim also state that forbidden hatred includes wanting a fellow Jew to suffer or to fail. Or, even if one didn't hope for the suffering or failure, but if he takes pleasure when such misfortune happens, he has committed sinas chinam. There's a famous story that shows this type of baseless hatred. The local butcher in a community asked the Brisker Rav, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, to determine if an animal was kosher. Reb Chaim ruled that the animal was treif, which caused the shochet to lose a large sum of money. The shochet accepted his ruling without question. Months later, this same butcher had a case before the Beis Din involving a relatively small amount of money. The same Reb Chaim was the head of the Beis Din, and he ruled against the shochet. Now, the shochet was furious with Reb Chaim, insulting him for his decision in the case. He even rebuffed Reb Chaim's many attempts to make peace. The sons of Reb Chaim asked him, why did the shochet easily accept the large loss of the treifa animal, but not the small loss of this din Torah? Reb Chaim answered, it didn't bother him to lose the money. It bothered him that his opponent in the case should receive the money. Not wanting one's adversary to succeed is considered sinas chinam. The sin of baseless hatred isn't just a minor offense. The Gemara in Yoma tells us that shkulas sinas chinam keneged shalosh averot. Sinas chinam is equated with the 3 cardinal sins. In fact, the Gemara declares that it was this sin that caused the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Given the severity of this avera, we need to know how to combat adverse feelings that we might have towards someone, since those feelings could develop into hatred. The following are 3 suggestions to help us change our negative emotions into positive ones. One thing to do is to focus on the good qualities that the person has, even if it's just 1 good character trait. By concentrating on that person's positive attributes, you can come to appreciate him and even feel love towards him. Rav Dessler gives another recommendation. He notes that our external actions affect our inner feelings. Therefore, he advises that to remove the negative emotions that you feel towards someone, you should do acts of kindness for him. The more you give to the person, the more love will be generated. The 3rd approach is based on the pasuk in the Torah that tells us, Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha, hocheach tochiach et amitecha. Don't hate your brother in your heart, you shall surely rebuke him. This pasuk contains 2 mitzvos. Mitzvah number 1, that you're not allowed to hate someone, and mitzvah number 2, that you should inform someone who is doing something wrong. These 2 mitzvos are not unrelated. Rather, the 2nd mitzvah is instructive on how to fulfill the 1st mitzvah. The way to avoid hating someone is by communicating that he hurt you. Often, we choose to avoid confronting those who have offended us. Perhaps we're worried that expressing our hurt feelings will somehow make things worse. Or maybe we think that by conveying that we were insulted makes us seem vulnerable. Or it might simply be that discussing our hurt feelings is uncomfortable. However, unaddressed feelings of hurt often fester, letting bitterness grow in the silence. This can lead to discord and hatred. Rather than keeping these emotions inside, the Torah commands us to confront people who wrong us. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos, chapter 6, explains, Ela mitzvah alav lahodiyo, v'lo marlo, lama asita li kach v'kach, v'lama chatata li b'dvar ploni. We're obligated to discuss the issue and ask someone why they hurt us. The goal is for the issue to be resolved so the relationship can be repaired. By doing our best to prevent sinas chinam, we can not only have healthy, loving relationships, but hopefully also merit the speedy rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. In the next year, I'll be talking about the restriction on Tisha B'Av from greeting people. We know that offering a greeting is the courteous thing to do. So why on Tisha B'Av are we barred from doing so? I hope you'll join me for this interesting discussion. Thank you for listening to Morning with Meaning with the OU Women's Initiative. This year is dedicated Le'iloi Nishmos Paraleia Bas Shlomo David and Shaul Ben Baruch. Rebbetzin Peggy Weiss was Nifteret on Ches Tishrei, 2014. Rabbi Saul Weiss was Nifter Dalet Siv on 2019. In the merit of our learning, my parents' neshama should have an aliyah.